Hi, thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Chrissy Mernon. I have a couple of guests from the Artist Foundation. Susan Oliver Hurd is the chair of the Artist Foundation, and she brought with her Sabine Senth, and she is a recipient of the Artist Foundation grant last year, and that enabled her to do an amazing project. We're going to find out about that. And so if you have an artist in your family or in your circle of friends, you want them to know about the Artist Foundation, because it's my understanding that you award some of, or one of the largest private foundation grants in Texas?
Correct.
What is the Artist Foundation, Susan? How did it come about?
First of all, thank you for having us today. The Artist Foundation, for me, it is the most important part of the arts ecosystem in San Antonio. It allows artists to actually grow in their work, and that allows them to produce something that they can present to museums and other institutions inside San Antonio or outside of San Antonio. And it gives them the freedom to have the time and money at the same time to produce a body of work that they can then have critiqued and possibly in a show somewhere else or in San Antonio. So for me, that's why I'm a part of it. That's what drives me. And I also appreciate that it's across disciplines. It's performing arts, it's literary arts, and it's visual arts, which also encompasses performance art and just anything visual, sculpture, anything you can imagine that would fall within the visual arts realms. That's why I'm involved.
How did it come about? How long has the Artist Foundation been around?
Well, it was founded by Betty Ward, who's a fantastic artist in person, and Patricia Pratchett as well. And she is a dancer. They wanted to create a foundation that gave money directly to artists. Basically, the important part is it's a project-based grant. So instead of some grants in the country are nominated by other people, some grants you can apply for. And in this case of this grant, your portfolio is reviewed, but you also have to present a project that has a specific deadline. And so that's the difference between some of the other grant programs out there.
So it's an artist with a brilliant idea for a body of work that they need financial support to produce.
Correct. What they do is they present their existing portfolio so that we're able to, and just when I say we, the board does not judge. We select judges panels for each division that are experts in their field. And so the judges select the winners. And what's important is they review an existing portfolio. In other words, to qualify that they have been working, they have been producing, they are of a certain level that we expect. And then also that they have a specific project that they have in mind. So sometimes people don't have a project. They are qualified. They feel like they could win it, but they're just not maybe motivated that year to have a project, or they're working on a lot of other projects. And then sometimes they do. So Sabine had a really great project in mind. She applied, and so she won. We're very proud of her and all of the artists that have won.
We'll get to Sabine's project and what she's been doing. But first, tell me how difficult it is to be a self-employed artist.
I would say it is incredibly difficult to be involved in the arts at all. Whether you're a gallerist, whether you're an artist, whether you're a preparator, a curator, I mean, it's very difficult to make money in the arts. And like I said, having time and money at the same time is what is really the most difficult. So that's what we're trying to provide artists with, so that they can really create and not have the stress of not having money to work on something.
You're basically self-employed as an artist, and it is challenging to bring both together, to have the time, to have the financing ready, and to carry through your project. That alone takes time and effort to even put it out there, let alone then carry it through, buy the materials, and market it. So you wear many hats as an artist, you're a small business owner, and you're on your own.
And so a grant comes in very handy.
A grant comes in super handy. So obviously it helps you to put your work out there. You know that you're being paid for the work that you're producing. Artwork is unique. It's not that I can sell 1,500 samples of something. It's a unique product. And it's very, very reassuring to know that you have the financing there. You get paid half upfront. So it's like every normal trade. And you basically follow a normal work scheme there and carry your project through. So it's very reassuring.
Tell me about your art, Sabine. How long have you been an artist, and what was your first art?
Oh my God. I mean, I've been doing art my whole life. I've got a teaching degree so I've got a Bachelor's of Fine Arts. I've got a Master's in Education. So I've been involved in teaching with art my whole life. I opened my own small small business, and I really went full time in the mid-2000s and have been doing this since then, and then also became a public artist, so I create work for offices, hospitals, like that. So you have to wear many, many hats as an artist. You market your own work, you produce your own work, you design, you sell it, you advertise it.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, yeah.
And all people see is the end product. They don't see all the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into it. Yeah.
And quite literally with the tools, there's blood and sweat and tears.
You will see, like nowadays in the corporate world, they're looking to hire artists. Because if you can think like an artist, what people maybe don't understand is that the research that goes into this project, artists are thinking all the time. They are looking at things differently. They have a completely different lens, and they approach a project with an immense amount of research. And then they produce something that reflects what we see in the world, but in a completely different way.
You're a project manager, and it goes over years. Like the project that I won the grant and the award for was in the workings, has been in the workings for 3 years before I put it on paper and applied for it. Mm-hmm. So that's how long those projects run for.
So tell me about your project. So you had it in your mind. What was your project?
My project was based on the border situation, the border issues here in Texas, and it sparked, obviously, my memory. I'm a native German. I grew up during the Cold War with the Berlin Wall in place and the Iron Curtain in place. And then I drive down to the Texas border and see this beautiful landscape there that's not unlike the landscape I grew up in, a very rural area, beautiful, and you just look across the river, the Rio Grande, and then you know, wow, it's a different country over there. And there's a border here, and there's all with all its opportunities and issues that involves. And that just sparked my curiosity there, like, where is it going to go? And that was all before the current politics situation. That was the really ironic situation that my project that I had started to think about 3 years beforehand, by the time it came to fruition, I could show the end result. It was highly, highly politically relevant. So that was really ironic, is the only word you can really say for it. And so that's the topic it revolved around. I'm a stone sculptor by trade, and I've branched out into mixed media. And one of the points the Artist Foundation makes to receive the grant is you have to challenge yourself. You have to push your own practice. And I did that. I incorporated video work for the first time ever, and I did more of the mixed media work, and to have the grant enabled me to do that because there was room to experiment. I didn't have to worry about, well, is the budget enough to incorporate that? Is the budget enough to do this? Just to have the budget allows you as an artist to step back and say, yes, it's been paid for. I can try this and really try to get the project where it should be, the best quality, and invest the time because I don't have to worry about funding it.
And you got some breathing room and yes, financial support.
Yes.
Support.
You can really create something innovative, something you can put your whole weight behind it. So that's huge.
So your project that you had envisioned 3 years before it became reality, borderline reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell me about it, because, you know, we can't show pictures. So you've got to paint those pictures on the radio.
You can go online and look at it.
You can go online.
You can go online.
Coming out in Sculptor Magazine one of these days. Yes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. So convey to people what it is.
It's been a two-way branch. So I applied to do another research trip down to the border and to collect materials. And those were physical materials. Those were debris I picked up from the border. I found illegal campsites down there from people crossing illegally across the Rio Grande. So I found a car wreck where the traffickers smuggled people over. And I talked to Border Patrol. I talked to park rangers who pointed out sites where activity takes place. So I collected really physical evidence of the immigrants that are crossing over. And I took those home with me. I took photographs, and I also took rocks from down there. As a stone sculptor, the rocks were important to me because the rocks are migrants themselves. They've been washed by for thousands of years by the waters down there. So I brought all of these things from that research trips and assembled them back home in the studio. And as you work on a project, it's just as you're working on it, the ideas become clearer and clearer, and you start creating. And it was very interesting because I had brought so much material with me, and I gained so many impressions talking to people down there that it led actually to two separate solo shows. There was such a wealth of resources there. So I was offered one solo show at Cinnabar in the Blue Star. That's how I met Susan here, actually. And then ArtPace in San Antonio offered the Hudson Showroom to me to do the final project presentation. So we had two spin-offs, and I used basically one of the shows was I collected those rocks from down there, cut them in half to show what's underneath the surface. Because from the outside, they all look very, well, they look like normal rocks. I tried to choose certain interesting ones. But then when you slice them open and treat them with stone sculpting techniques and polish them, they're like our kitchen granite countertops, and they're beautiful on the inside. And then I added meaning to them by bringing the mixed media debris in that I picked up down there. And that was all on display in that show. And further on to that, then the idea was to deal with that topic, migration, which is not just here in San Antonio. It's obviously, it was a big topic for me. I grew up with the wall over there. And at the same time, the European migration crisis happened as well. So this migration topic is very current, it's very global, so it all comes together. So another part of the show where I used all the remnants that I found and discarded objects is a series called Surges, and they are basically gestures of an expression of the surge of migration that are happening around the world and here at our border. And I incorporated those and juxtaposed those objects that I found into them. So they are mixed media pieces, they're framed on the wall. There's, I think, a set of 8 of them. And you can see all those on my website. You can see them on ArtPace's website. Cinnabar might still have some up there too. And there's, if you look on the San Antonio Express News has reported on them as well. So they're out there, those images, if you want to see them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I'm curious. Yeah. Yes. So what did you want to convey, or what did you want people to experience or leave with after viewing your art?
I wanted them to form their own opinion, to realize that that whole border issue is not a local issue, that it's global, that it's been happening time after time after time in history, that it's an issue that's repeating itself, that building a wall, as history has shown, might not be effective. Who knows? I mean, I'm not pointing the finger. I don't know enough about it either, but that there's individuals behind it. Those little discarded objects. I found keys. I found a set of keys on the border that I incorporated. You don't know, there might be to someone's deposit box, there might be to someone's house. And there's individuals behind it. People that die crossing the border, they swim across the river. Those are family tragedies, and that border affects all of our families. We all have relatives here that either come from across the border, or we know friends, co-workers. It touches everyone. And one thing after the ArtPace show, a lot of people came to me and said, like, you know, you really touched me with that. I have my story. And they told me their story of living near the border. And the stories were not so different from when I grew up in the 70s to how they grew up. And I got letters. And a 97-year-old woman wrote me a very, very nice letter after she read about the project in the paper and telling me, yeah, I grew up in Laredo across the border. And she told me how it was for her. So that's it. It has touched people. So what I want them to take away from it is to just be aware that this is individual, this is family history, this is very, very personal, that immigration touches all of us, that the migration is normal, it's always happening in the world at some place, that there's parallels we can look at to how to deal with it. And one of the main installation for Borderline Reality, the ArtPace piece, was where I took those stones and I built a portal of them, and people were invited, the guests were invited to go walk through that portal. And they're like watchtowers, they're like sentinels on the border, one to the right, one to the left. But geographically, those stones from across the border, they're the same minerals, they're the same, the landscape is the same, the people on both sides of the borders are the same. There's just someone drew the line and said, okay, this is the Rio Grande, this is the States, the United States of America, this is Mexico. But at the end of the day, the people and the land are the same. And those stones, they have the memory of the earth in them. To me, stones, they carry the memory of the earth for, you know, they've been there and they've migrated for millions of years. And I wanted people to be able to walk through those gates, and they sure did. And they laid out the shape of the Rio Grande with candy. And it was very nice, shiny, glistening candy, which was meant to be for the, it's for symbolizing the sweeter life that immigrants or migrants look for. I mean, they don't leave their homes because they have nothing better to do. They leave because it's not livable, because there's hardship, because they suffer, because they have to. That is why they leave. They don't leave because they're having an easy life there. So I laid out the in the shape of the Rio Grande, and people could navigate across that river in the gallery. And they were invited to take actually a piece of that candy away with them and literally to eat away at the border. Because at the end of the day, the border is in our mind. You know, the if you look at our DNA, we're a great mix of everything. And that was the gist of the show, for people to take a bit away of it and just realize it's a very individual choice where to move, why you need to move or feel the need to move, why people are forced to migrate, and that it's a historical thing that repeats itself and that it's relevant for every family and at all times.
How profound.
Absolutely. For me, Sabine's work is the perfect storm of interest in my entire life. I was a historian. I was a musician at the age of 3. I understand what it's like to be an artist, to dream to be an artist. And, you know, if you look back in times, one of our greatest, you know, one of the greatest leaders, I should say, Winston Churchill, says, look at history, it will repeat itself. I don't have the quote exactly right, but it's something to that effect. And if you look back, Vienna, with Napoleon taking over Vienna, creating walls, which now are the ring around Vienna, but that ring existed, it was Vindobona in the Roman Empire. It was the military headquarters of the Roman Empire. So there will always be a dictator or a person who wants to build a wall and wants to keep other people out and control the people in. And we have to, the arts are the expression of the people to tear down these walls. Figurative, literally, however you look at it, it is essential. And so what happened when Sabine won the Artist Foundation grant, she was able to create this project. This project was able to be shown at Art Pace, at Cinnabar, at different, it could be shown again. And it's important, and the more people it reaches, the better. And then Sculpture Magazine picking up a review written by me on behalf of the Artist Foundation just gives it a more national and international view. I mean, these are important topics. And what people have to realize is the importance of this foundation. It's very easy to realize the impact McNay has on our community, that SAMA has on our community, that Blue Star has on our community, Art Pace, that these, you can go to those places. You can see what it is, how they impact us. But the Artist Foundation is really sort of the ecosystem integrated in there that if that does not survive, these other institutions, you know, they will be missing an important element.
The Artist Foundation is what puts the artists on the maps. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been working in San Antonio for almost 10 years now. But the Artist Foundation Award really made my work reach a much greater audience and a greater collector's base as well. And it just puts your name out there and says, hey, look at her work. You might not have heard about her, but it really points to it. And that's what the Artist Foundation has done to me. It's really been a great catalyst for my career, for my work. And that is how people, the museums, Art Pace, McNay, Blue Star, they pick up on those things as well. So in that respect, the Artist Foundation is really like the artist is a barometer for what happens mm-hmm. in society. The Artist Foundation is a local institution that shows, well, this is happening here in our art scene in San Antonio. Pay attention to these people.
And it's very important to note that it is very difficult for artists to go on and receive grants that are national without having already won regional grants.
That's true. Yes.
They have to win. They have to show, look, my community has celebrated me, my state has celebrated me, or my region. And so therefore, they become qualified for things like Guggenheim and really important things that are life-changing, mm-hmm. that elevate them to mm-hmm. a point where their art is as six
step.
Figures.
I was thinking it's a step. Yeah. You just don't come out of nowhere.
I was shortlisted for the Texas Biennial now, and I'm sure that has to do with because I have the track record now. So it's important to get on that ladder. It's like a career ladder. It's no different.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't start as the CEO. You work your way up there.
And I have to note, we have, for the first time, this has been around since 2005. and 2006 was the first grant cycle, but it was started in 2005. So, and then in 10 cycles, we have never had county support. And this year, we have received $50,000 for operational costs from the county. So that is huge.
They're getting behind you.
We're able to do some advertising. We're able to have some grant writers join us, some bookkeepers. I mean, we're able to kind of branch out and hopefully have, you know, build towards having an executive director. And then the city has also offered us $30,000 towards grants, which we have to match. And we need to match both funding from the county and the city. And so we really it's very important. And for me, that was an exciting moment that took us to a new level. And it shows people, you know, hey, our community believes in us.
And that's a lot of work done by volunteers. I mean, people in the Artist Foundation, they don't get paid to do this.
Absolutely. We have six board members.
Yeah.
We have six board members that work full time on this while holding down full-time
jobs. So it's really a labor of love. Mm-hmm. And it's all volunteer. Our guest this morning, Susan Oliver Hurt. She is the chair of the Artist Foundation of San Antonio and artist Sabine Senft. And so Sabine is here with Susan talking about the Artist Foundation. And again, you've got these grants, and over the years, like Sabine was a recipient of a $5,000 grant, but it has changed, right?
Yes. Well, we kept the same, which is important to us, is to be across disciplines. So we want to make sure that we are honoring people with a poem. If they want to write, if we have three categories this year, we have the literary arts, we have the performing arts, and we have the visual arts. So if you were a performance artist, you would fall in the visual arts category. If you are a cellist and you create a beautiful symphony that you would like to submit, it is a project-based grant. So we want to see your portfolio, but then we also want to see an idea, a new, fresh idea that hasn't been shown anywhere else. And we want you to perform it. We will provide a space for you. That's also something that's changed. You don't have to go out and find someone to show it. We provide the space next fall, and you show up with your project and you perform it, or you read it if you win the literary arts. Or if you're a visual artist, then you we hang your paintings, or we show your sculpture, or you do your performance, or whatever your expression may be.
That's great. So there's a lot of changes happening in the way the institution, the Artist Foundation itself, is being reorganized, and things are being
I felt it was hard for artists to not only create, but to also go out and market. That is probably the hardest part about being an artist, is to go and convince a gallery to show your work. It's hard while you're trying to create, while you're trying to have a job. I mean, all of these things are difficult. So we tripled the money. You're getting $15,000 instead of $5,000. We slimmed the categories, so we're really just those three. But what's really exciting about this year, and what we really need to help, and we're very appreciative of you helping us today, is we need to get the word out. All of the applications are due by December 20th. Then they go to the judges, and we will give the awards. We will announce the winners of the three categories, and then we will announce a list of finalists. And we will have about a week, maybe 2 weeks, for the entire county. If you live in the Bexar County, you get to vote for that fourth person from this list of finalists. And that person also wins $15,000.
Oh, wow.
So in other words, if Sabine had won this year, for example, in the visual arts category, she cannot also win the People's Choice. Mm-hmm. And that is sponsored in part by the Tobin Endowment. So that is very important that we get the word out, you know, for people to vote.
Let me make sure I've got this straight, Susan. So when artists apply for one of these grants, they're going after one of the three. But if they don't get one of the three, they're put in the pot for the fourth one, the People's Choice?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
What happens is we ask, so each category has a judges panel, which will reveal the names hopefully in the next week, so people will know before they finalize their application. So the judges will provide us a list of up to five. They can give one. They could give up to five from each category. So essentially, if they give five, for example, so they will give one winner, and then they will give five finalists. Let's say they say up to five. So you essentially could have 15 people to select from. Mm-hmm. And from those 15 people, one of those gets the People's Choice.
The People's Choice. Okay, I see. The judges say, you know, I really like this person's work. This is my winner. Mm-hmm. But here are these
very
close. That are very worthy, and perhaps they have a shot at the People's Choice.
And let me say one thing. The judges are not local. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any of the judges, and literally I don't have I've moved here 10 years ago, so I don't have roots in San Antonio where I could say like, well, I know so-and-so, that's why I got that. No, those are judges. The vote was anonymous. When I applied, I didn't even know who the judges were. It was not even published. And they're sitting anywhere in the United States, in my case, for some of the music category, they're even internationally, and they vote online. So they get the images sent, they make their choices based on the work, and it does not go by who you know or how long you've been here. It's really merit based on you. You need to put your best work forward and you get judged on your work. They don't know you as an artist. You don't know them as the judges.
So there's no bias toward the person. It's just the art speaks for itself.
And we do have them sign conflict of interest. So if it comes before them and they happen to know the person and they happen to think that it would conflict their choice, then they can recuse themselves from that particular vote. But we've tried to make sure. We also think, you know, part of winning a grant is also being selected by a judge, by an expert. So you get to say, oh, you know, so-and-so picked me, who's very prominent in the art world. They picked me. Or in the performing arts world, you know, oh, this composer from Amsterdam, you know, this famous person picked me, you know? And so that's really, I think, part of what's important. So
it's
that's
a huge
new thing we've changed.
That's what I was thinking, validation.
And that's even almost bigger than the monetary reward for
that
it.
You are worthy.
And that you voted on by experts in the subject field. Those are not people that have just seen your work. They're actually professionals and they give you the feedback. And at the end of it, you do get the jurors' remarks, you get the comments. And it's hugely rewarding to read what they think about your work. There's some negative comments in there too, but you get the merit for your work. And those are professionals that deem your work worthy. It's huge validation. It gives you your self-esteem a boost. It gives you motivation to work harder, to apply for the next step, to apply for different things. It's just a huge motivator.
So Sabine, encourage all the artists in town to get in on this.
Well, all I can say is apply and reapply. I didn't get it the first time around either. I applied two times before, once with the same project actually, because it has already been in the making for 3 years. I refined the project. It was, now I know, much too complex to get it across. And then just be authentic. Write down what you think, what it is that you want to do. Be as clear as you can and apply. And if you don't get it 1 year, apply again the next year and go for it.
And all right. Our website is artistfound.org.
ArtistFound.org.
Correct.
And you've got the deadline. It's the deadline. Right before Christmas.
Go to the guidelines section. Also, I will mention that anyone who's won in the last 10 cycles is not eligible to apply. So the pile is slimmed. You have a great chance.
It's a good time to apply
right
now.
It's a good time.
It's a very good time.
And, you know, I'll also mention, as an artist, I was a jeweler as well, and I still am a jeweler, but I was encouraged when I was finishing school to apply for everything. Like Sabine is saying, blanket the applications, right? And I remember I left a wedding shower or a baby shower. I have to go to Kinko's. This is back when you had to like send, you know, Xerox things on poster board and put it all in a package. And so that's what I did. And I applied and I kind of thought, God, you know, this is a joke. I'm never going to win this. But I did it anyways. I sent it in and I won.
How about
and
that?
I got celebrated in Vegas. It's now sold in every store across the United States that sells L'Evian jewelry, like 10 here in San Antonio. For me, it's something I had a coworker later say to me when I was having sort of a, you know, artists always have up and down moments. Mm-hmm. And I was having a little bit of a down moment. And she said to me, you know what? You're an award-winning jeweler that can never be taken away from you. No matter what you do for the rest of your life, your obituary will read award-winning jewelry.
That's
jeweler.
True. You don't think about yourself like that as an artist, but it's true. When you make it clear to yourself, you're award-winning now and not just a tiny little award. It's a massive award.
And it will go on everything you ever write about. You have that validation. Mm-hmm. Someone has selected you as an award winner.
Because you put out the effort and you took a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you didn't get discouraged. I took a break for a year. I didn't apply because I thought, I'm never going to get it. And sure enough, the next year I said, like, I can do this. I put it out there. I did. And that validation also goes for your work. I mean, the collectors that bought your work already, they like to read that you won another award because that makes their collection
because they've got
more
that connection to you. And yes, you bet.
You never know what the jewelers are going to like. You never know.
You
really apply, apply, and don't get discouraged. I mean, I applied to 10 things that year and I won one.
So there you go. You great advice. We're out of time. I want to thank you for stopping by this morning. Our guests, Sabine Svent and Susan Oliver Hurd, chair of the Artist Foundation of San Antonio. And again, you gave that website. Can you give it one more time?
Artistfound.org. And you can give us a call if you have any questions, 210-557-6073. I'll give as much guidance as I can. I can't tell you what to apply or how to apply. I can't. You have to come up with that yourself. But I can direct you to the guidelines on the website are the best advice out there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.